All right. Thank you. Ooh. All right, my name is Sean, Peter Gant. Welcome. I'm one of the pastors here. And this term, we are kicking off the Gospel of Mark, exciting times. For the next 8 weeks, we're going to go through the Gospel of Mark and written around, a bit introductions about Gospel of Mark, it's written around 60 to 70 AD by a person called John Mark. He's the traveling companion for Barnabas and Paul, you know, and he's the reason why they have friction, if you know about a bit of a background. And he's also an interpreter and scribe for Peter. And I think most of his material is coming from Peter. It's sort of a Peter's account. So before we start, let me pray. Father in heaven, Lord, shine your light into our hearts so that we can see the treasure that you are. May this written word and this spoken word lead to the living word, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Wasted no time at all, John Mark, the writer, jumps right in. There's no fluff, no long introduction. His style is immediate, fast-paced, straight to the point. You can't miss the sense of urgency and excitement here. At once, he seemed to be saying, listen, this glorious and wonderful thing I am about to tell. He calls it the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now you hear me saying the good news or the gospel interchangeably, it means the same thing. Indeed, the good news is the message about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus and what it means to you and me. To the early Christians, there can be no happier news. It's recorded in Acts chapter 8, a severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and everyone was scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. They stayed in Jerusalem. And what did the believers do? They preached the word. It was the ordinary believers, as they ran for their lives and they took cover, they cried out, listen, listen to what we've got to say. They're telling everyone about the most wonderful thing anyone can listen to. Even though it's this news they are persecuted for. Why? Why were all these men and women willing to grab every single opportunity and tell everyone about this good news? Why did Mark write this gospel? Should we be reacting as the first Christians reacted? Why should the world be invited to hear it? Here's the questions we are faced tonight. Is the gospel still relevant today? Is it as relevant as it was in the first century? Is this news still good? So this evening, we shall answer this question by looking at just this one verse, Mark chapter 1, verse 1, which is Mark's thesis upon which the entire book is written. And the first reason we find is that it speaks to our needs and it speaks to our condition. The beginning of the good news. Imagine fire is raging in your neighborhood. When your house is about to burn down, your deepest needs is not watching the latest YouTube video and trying to meet the deadline of your assignments. Your priorities have changed. You need the fireman to save your house from ruin. The sound of siren is music to your ears. It's good news. but your house is not burning down, and you're perfectly okay sitting where you are, and you have no interest in a speculative message. If this is you, let me assure you that the good news is based on actual historical accounts and not some speculative matter of interest. It is also not some theory and ideas about life, nor is it teachings of a wise man or guru from which we can extract moral principles and practical ethics. Now, we can debate the merits of religion, moral system of philosophy, but with a news event, either the event had happened or it didn't. Either it's simply good news or it's fake. This good news is good because it is speaking to the greatest and the most concrete needs of men and women today. You see, we tend to react to things before us and forget about the more important matters. This is why most of us are preoccupied with the here and now and material needs, like how much money to maintain our lifestyle, who should I go out with this Friday, where do I go to school, which subjects am I taking? The good news goes beyond that. It addresses us on a deeper level. It reaches into our core and answers these profound questions. What is life? What is a human being? Are we just a creature who needs to be well-fed, well-entertained, in good health, and then die? Is that all? What are we living for? What is the meaning of death? How do we die well? The good news also speaks to our experience of suffering, sin, guilt, and a fear of death. Perhaps even now you're struggling with pains and deep hurts and wonder, will you ever be whole again? And the good news deals with all this and offers hope and transformation. Now, I know I love seeing people making plans for the future. A 3-year plan, 5-year plan, 10-year plan. I see a lot of young people here. And I also see a lot of people of different ages, let me put it this way. But the years may soon be gone. And sadly, some of us may be gone before it's over. Have you considered eternity? The good news challenges us to see beyond the superficial and consider what is the real essence or reality. Are you open to the vision of a future beyond death? And the tragedy is that most people feel that this is irrelevant when it is all that matters. It's only when we're faced with trials that such profound questions come to the fore. And in Jesus' eyes, we are like sheep without a shepherd, stray sheep at the mercy of wild dogs and thieves, harassed and helpless. But Jesus had great compassion for us. For this reason, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And this is why the early Christians preached it in the ancient world, for they realized the profound questions raised by the gospel and what it offers can determine whether they are joyful or miserable, they are at peace or restless, fearful or faithful. It changed them. And it changed the world. The good news is not just about
our eternal destiny is absolutely necessary for our everyday lives.
Which brings us to the next point.
The second reason is this. The good news is relevant because this is where we encounter the one who saves us. Let's meet Jesus, shall we? Mark chapter 1, verse 1 introduces Jesus as the subject of the good news. The name Jesus means Yahweh is salvation, emphasizing that Jesus' role is central to God's saving plan for humanity. And the Hebrew term Messiah means the anointed one. Its Greek equivalent is Christ. Jesus the Messiah, aka Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the Messiah is understood as the deliverer and a king who is chosen and anointed by God to restore Israel and defeat his enemies and establish the kingdom of God. Right at the get-go, Mark declares Jesus is the long-awaited fulfillment of God's ancient promises. How credible is this claim? Well, if I ask you to prove you who you claim to be, you show me your driving license. If I ask you whether you have the ability and skills to do certain things, you show me your credentials issued by a recognized authorities. It could be university. If pressed further, you offer references like testimony from people of reputable character. And that's what Mark is doing here. Being inspired by the Spirit of God, Mark points to the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies from verse 3, which are an extract from Isaiah and Malachi. It says, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." And that voice, according to Mark, is John the Baptist, a rock star-like figure with an exquisite taste of fashion, drawing crowds from all over Judean countryside and city. His arena is the desert, a barren land with no signs of life, but is now flourishing with a sea of people because of his message of repentance. And this is how the desert came to life. Yet, contrition alone is not enough to transform lives. And John told the crowd, "Wait, I'm only performing religious rites here. Wait for the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, the one who has the power from above." And then the camera swiftly pans to the next scene from verse 9. If you want to open the Bible, follow me. Verse 9, "At the time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming out from the water, and he saw heaven being torn open and a Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" This time the voice is God himself confirming who Jesus already is. What can top this? Now we know why Mark skipped over more than 300 Old Testament prophecy fulfilled in Jesus. Still, Mark wants us to get the right headline. Which is, God is sovereign. He is the one who is behind the present events and the ones before. Ultimately, all the prophecies and expectations in the Old Testament converge in the Anointed One. But something with cosmic significance is happening at the baptism. Jesus' baptism also ushering the new beginning. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 1 again. It opens with the word, the beginning. It is the start of something new, something momentous is happening, and nothing will ever be the same again. The word, the beginning, harks back to Genesis, and Mark is saying God is about to begin a new creative work, something that has never happened since the creation. Remember at the creations, there were darkness, there were void, there were nothing. And when it hears God's voice, what happens? The entire creation comes to life. That's what's happening here. Jesus' baptism inaugurates the new creation. On the Jordan banks, God speaks and the Spirit hovers over the water as in Genesis. At this baptism, Jesus identifies himself with the penitent people of God. Yes, Jesus doesn't need the repentance because he is sinless. And he doesn't need to be born again because at his incarnation, he is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Yet he has done this to serve as a prototype of what is to become of us when his righteousness becomes ours. See how he loves us. He is the trailblazer. He becomes the first human to be made alive, born again by the Spirit into the kingdom of God. First to be raised from the dead, the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And Jesus is saying, this is you when you follow me. For I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How then can anyone call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Let's pray that God raise up more preachers. The good news must be heard because it is where everyone encounters the one who saves us. This brings us to the third reason. The gospel must be heard because it is an open invitation to everyone to return as sons of God. Mark chapter 1, verse 1 says, announces Jesus, the Son of God. When we embrace Jesus as who he is, we too will become like him, conformed to the image of the Son. Do you remember in those good old days? Old days, maybe not good. We had this driving maps. Maybe you don't, but your parents might know about it. No, driving maps that give us direction, you know? Literally, paper maps that bind together like magazines. Yeah, you've seen that before? Maybe check out the museum. A car trip can easily turn into an emotional roller coaster. Right, flipping through the pages, stopped by the roadside, and out of nowhere, arguments break out. Life was a lot more exciting then. This day, there's no drama. With Google Map, it's a little boring, right? It gives everything you need. There's no excitement. And even with a calm voice to boot, for which some of us were appreciative. Yeah? But however, we do need precision. The exact information of the location to input into the app. And then there's still the question on how to get there. it seemed to me Jesus is extremely precise on where he wants us to be. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also may be where I am. John 14, 2, verse 3. Please don't check your Google map. You couldn't find that place there. It's time. It's time, my friend, to stop straying. Instead, receive the great shepherd who seeks you. He knows you. He'll guide you, cares for you. He protects you. He fought the wild dogs and the thieves, and even laid down his life for you. At the cross, Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. He was cursed for our iniquities. By his wounds, we are healed. That's the cost of bringing us home. And Jesus had paid it all. And he will also take us there. He couldn't have made it any easier. Why? Because he loves us. And because he died to everyone who believes in his name, he gives the right to become sons of God, born of God, just like that. Whether you're male or female, you become the sons of God. Whether you're man or woman, you be the bride of Christ. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fears are gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Someday we've got to sing that song. I'm classic. Today, this open invitation has come to you. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. At this time, I would like to invite you to respond. If you like to repent and believe in the good news and follow Jesus and proclaim that he is Lord, your Lord and Savior, with every head bowed, please say this prayer after me. You can say out loud or quietly in your heart. The prayer is between you and the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess my sins and ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I now turn from my sins and invite you to come into my life. I want to trust you and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, if you have prayed a prayer, would you share the news with your friends? Will you please speak to me or Andrew or the pastor there? We'd love to share your joy and celebrate with you. So friends, the gospel is relevant and must be heard because it speaks to our deepest needs and the human condition. Because it is where we encounter the one who saves us. And thirdly, because it is an open invitation to everyone to return as sons of God. God bless you.